Here we are at another annual conference, another Memorial Day, another beautiful day, and it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Springtime, the birds which are so well fed by God and who go around breaking our mirrors. We had one of God's creatures arrive at our back door this morning demanding food, so I now have a new tomcat in my garage. I'm not quite sure what to do with him, but this is going to be interesting. I don't know whose he is, if he belongs to one of the neighbors or not, but he was awfully friendly, so he's certainly not very wild. And he was awfully hungry, too. I'm afraid he may have been dropped off by someone. We worry. We worry about what's going to happen. We worry about our health. We worry about what we're going to wear. We worry about what we're going to do. We worry about what if. I hate those words, what if. Especially in my work, when somebody starts asking me, well, what if, and what if, and what if, pretty soon I'm ready to say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to play what if. What we have to deal with is what is. And what is. Our last verse says, so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And God provides for us each day. In AA we say, one day at a time. Comes right out of our scripture. We need to be doing the right thing today, and let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Because if we start trying to figure out what we're going to do, if, we will frustrate ourselves right into insanity. Somebody was telling me this morning about a family member who is struggling with how to deal with the loss of her father, and in doing so is feeling a great deal, apparently, of remorse and guilt for the way she's interacted with him, treated him, acted towards him. If we just do the right thing today, then whatever happens tomorrow, we don't have to look back at what we did yesterday and go, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. Been there? I have. When you look back at the day before and you go, ooh, I shouldn't have done that. It's one of the reasons I don't drink alcohol anymore, because too many mornings I woke up and looked back at the day before and went, ooh, I'm not sure what I did, but I'm pretty sure I shouldn't have done that. We make mistakes. We're human. God made us very fallible in His wisdom. And so in making our mistakes, we hopefully will learn from our mistakes. But if we try and plan too far in the future, if we try and make everything happen the way we think it should, the way we think it ought to, not only are we frustrating ourselves with our own worries, but we are too often preventing God from blessing us. Well, how's that, Pastor? Well, when we want to make things happen the way we think they should happen, He can't send us His blessings because we've already decided where we want to go. If you have your whole week planned out and somebody comes along and says, hey, you know, I've got two tickets to go to the ball game. Well, I can't go to the ball game because I got to mow the yard. Well, I'm sorry. My lawnmower can mow just as good tomorrow as it can today. I'm going to the ball game. Unexpected blessings should be grabbed a hold of, should be appreciated, should be blessed, should be a blessing, should be things that we are thankful for and enjoy, and let ourselves have a good time. How many people do you know, present company included, who don't let themselves have a good time because they're too busy worrying about what they have to do? Well, sometimes you just need to let go. Sometimes you just need to blow off some steam. Sometimes you just need to go have some fun. Sometimes you need to buy that extra outfit that you don't really need, but you think it looks really good. Sometimes we do need to be a little impulsive. Sometimes we need to let things happen, let things come to us, Let God bless us. Quit being so in control that God doesn't even have a space where He can send a blessing. I do a class in time management. And when I do that, I just do a real simple time management outline where I take a piece of paper and I draw a line down the middle and then I draw a line across the middle. And I say, work, school, home, church. Those are the four areas of my life that I have responsibilities for, and I make a list on each of those as to what I should do. And I probably need to put a fifth one in there somewhere that says play. We get so caught up in our need to have control of things that we don't allow for any spontaneity. One of the things that I have the biggest trouble teaching my clients is how to have a leisure plan. How many of you have a leisure plan? I don't. Probably need to have more of one. Because when I get to the end of my week, I always seem to have not gotten as much done as I wanted to and not taken any time to go play. I need to plan for things that I'm going to do for fun. Shirley and I usually get around to thinking about it sometime around 10 o'clock Friday night when I'm dragging in from a late shift and going, oh, I'm exhausted. Well, what are we going to do tomorrow? I don't know. Let's look at the limelight, see what's happening. Okay. And, of course, I'm exhausted, and then Saturday comes, and, you know, there's stuff to do, and Sunday's coming, and it's easy to get caught up in all the things we have to do. God has blessed us beyond our imagination. But we, with our limited imagination, can only think about those things that we have to do instead of leaving the possibility that things should come to us unexpectedly. Someone once told me that if you want something, put a picture of it on your refrigerator and look at it every day. Well, that was a few years ago, and one of the things that I put a picture of on my refrigerator was a sailboat. If you all look out the window there, there's a big blue tarp covering up a sailboat. It's in my front yard now. It works. God bless me. I'm still trying to figure out how to get it in the water, but that's another blessing entirely. We have so much in this country. And there are so many people who have gone before us who have been willing to give their lives that we might continue to have these things. Not just the military, although we certainly want to take the time to remember all of those people who've fallen in military service. This is Memorial Day weekend, after all. They gave their lives because they believed so much in what we believe in as a country that they wanted to ensure that it would continue for more generations, their children and our children, their grandchildren and our grandchildren. But also the other people who died in service to what they believed in. People who died in service as missionaries. People who cared so much about God's Word that they were willing to put their life on their line that people in other places might hear it. The people who died in other kinds of service. Peace Corps. AID aid with this country. The Corps folks. The folks who go and help with all the different, as we now call them, non-governmental agencies. How many people are there in Iraq right now who have died who were military? How many more people have died who were civilian contractors? War is no longer something that is just fought by the military. We understand now that it's an operation that requires a huge amount of support services, and most of those folks are not military. They're civilian contractors. There are lots of people who make it possible for us to have the blessings that we have. And then there's all those folks out there that provide essential services. The paramedics, the law enforcement, the firefighters, the folks who go out there and put their life on the line every day. So that we might be safe and secure. we don't think about them when we're going down the highway, unless the blue lights happen to come on behind us, and then we're probably not blessing them. Or the red and white lights come on behind us, and we try and get out of the way before they run us over. But they do. They make it possible for us to live in the world that we live in. And what about those folks like Phil and Tom and all the folks who are going to annual conference who try and help with the operation of the church? Bubba, who tries to make sure that things are clean and nice for us every Sunday. And, you know, all kinds of people out there are putting a part of their life into trying to make the world a better place for everybody else. That's a good thing. Some people gave their life and died. Other people gave their lives in service. All kinds of people out there care about how the world should be and are willing to give their time and give their lives and give their service. That's an amazing thing to me. Because if you look at it from a logical point of view, it seems like it makes so much more sense to just get mine and go. You know? I got mine. That's the selfish human in us. But the I care about everybody else's being able to have theirs is the divine spark within us. We care about getting stuff, but we also care about each other. We care about our worldly comfort, but we also care about other people who are in discomfort. We are called on to put God first. When we put God first, when He is master of our lives, then things seem to make more sense. When we put ourselves first, then nothing ever satisfies us. You know, I remember graduating from high school and I was thrilled. I was going to go out and save the world for about a week and a half. And then I realized the world wasn't quite ready to be saved by me. You know, I was thrilled when I got my first job. I was thrilled when I became a paramedic. I was thrilled when I got a college degree. All those things seemed like great and wonderful things to do. But then the reality set in, and they turned out to be not quite as great and wonderful as the imagination had them being. We put ourselves first, it's never enough. Nothing is ever enough. If we put God first, whatever we have is always enough because He makes it enough. He's the one that makes the difference. With Him in our hearts, the world is a beautiful place. Without Him in our hearts, the world is a horrifying and scary place. What's wrong with the world? It's selfish. It's angry. It's mean. It's petty. But gee, that's what we are without God. It's in God that we go beyond our selfishness. It's in God that we go beyond our frustration. It's in God that we go beyond our anger and our hatred and our guilt and our whatever else it is we're feeling and can say, well, I'm real worried today, but I know God's in charge, so it'll be okay. Gas is $4 a gallon. But God's in charge. It'll be okay. We're still at war in Iraq. We're still at war in Afghanistan. And we may be in a war in Iran one of these days. We don't know. But God's in charge and it'll be okay. We've prayed for people who've lost sons and nowadays daughters sometimes too in conflict. But God's in charge and it will be okay. We don't understand how. We don't know why. But we do know it works. Because when you put God in charge of your life, it's better. Amen?
Amen. Amen.